Well, we've been trying to learn about obedience and disobedience. And tonight, I kind of want to focus on the idea of intentionality. Now, we talked a little bit about intentionality in terms of obedience a couple of weeks ago. And we pointed out that we need to be obeying God out of an intention to obey God. The fact that we do the right things without the intention to be obeying God is just a happy circumstance. And a lot of times, it's possible for us to do what God tells us to do, largely because what God wants for us is good. And so what he tells us to do is for our good. And once in a great while, we're smart enough to realize that. And so we can unintentionally be doing what God wants us to do. And that really isn't obedience. So we're going to expand that notion a little bit, and tonight we're going to talk about intentionality as it relates to primarily disobedience. And a good place to start is Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 26 and 27. Can I get somebody to read that for us?
For if we go on sinning deliberately, willfully, defiantly, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries.
Okay. What do you see there?
Well, if you keep sinning deliberately, your judgment is going to be much stronger. But
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah, Bill.
Well, in part of parentheses, it's something we make a conscious decision to do.
Okay, so it's willful. It's the New American Standard has an interesting term there. They say we're sinning defiantly. And I find that a really interesting term, and that kind of reminds me of the little guy who's standing up in front of his mother and he has his hands on his hips and says, "You can't tell me what to do." And she says, "Oh, yeah." I heard somebody else say it, "Oh, yes, I can." And he's going to do what she tells him to do. But it's an interesting word. Yeah, Carol.
Well, it's just who do you have on your heart
Oh.
that's ruling your life? Is it you or is it God? Because
Okay.
that's what you said you wanted to do. But when you get this, when you get to be a deliberate person, you've basically willfully turned your back on God and you said, no, I'm not going to do what you asked me to do. So it's not just a something that you did last week and you did it again this week and your foot's on the accelerator again today. It's not that kind of repetition. It's a deliberate repetition.
Okay, that's interesting because you use the word repetition. And that's a big part of this idea of sinning deliberately. So what do we learn from the language? This is sinning deliberately is an interesting phrase. This is the only place that it occurs in the New Testament, with the exception of something that we see in 1 Peter 5 at verse 2. I didn't mean to ignore you, Maddie. Go ahead.
Can you go back to that last screen really quick?
Okay, let me go
Sorry.
back.
There's a big part of that that is also included. Go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth.
Okay.
There's two pieces that go together, right? If you look at the two-year-old who's stomping his feet, I'm not going to do that, right? And then he doesn't know any better yet. This is going on sinning deliberately after you know better.
Okay.
And those two pieces have to go together.
That's a good point. Hang on to that point. You've been reading my outline. Okay.
Clearly, great minds think alike.
Hang on to that. Hang on to that point. Let's talk about the language about doing something willfully. It's a phrase or it's a modifier of an activity that you see repeated only in 1 Peter 5 at verse 2. Here, 1 Peter 5 at verse 2, he's talking to elders, and he says they take the oversight of the church, not by constraint, but willingly. And that's an interesting use of that modifier. What do you see here? When we're talking about the elders, what do you see as important in the idea of willingly?
There should be forcing.
Okay. You're not forced. But I think it's more than that. I think it means of our own accord. And that's a little bit different than just saying that I'm not forced to do it. It's a more positive approach. And the language also tells us that this word willingly, when it's used to modify a behavior, it's in the aorist tense, not the present tense. Now, that for everybody in the auditorium tonight, with the exception of Faye, that's a real hard distinction for us to grasp. The difference between the aorist and the present tense in the Greek language. Now, usually when we think about tenses, we think about he came, he has come, he is coming. We think about it in terms of indicating something about time. That's the way that we think of present, past, and future. Okay, that's the way we think about tenses. That's not the way that the Greek tenses work. In the Greek tense, the aorist tells us about a simple action. It's an aorist when it simply tells you about something that happened with no indication of how long it took. It's just something that happened. Okay? Simple activity. The present tense, on the other hand, again, this is in the Greek language. They have it's so hard to learn Greek because they have a whole bunch of tenses. We just have present, past, and future. They have a pile of them. When you get to the present tense in the Greek, it's really telling you about the type of the action. Not so much when it occurred or will occur, but it's the type of the action. The Greek present tense indicates continued action. This is the idea that you were getting at. It's an action that is continuous. Something that happens continually or repeatedly, or something that's in the process of happening. If you say, for instance, the sun is rising, you're talking about a present tense. It's something that's happening. It's not just a snapshot of something that happened. That would be aorist, a snapshot. But present tense is a lot more like a video. So when we say a person is sinning willfully, we're not talking about something that that person did and just did it once. When we talk about people sinning willfully, we're talking about a process. We're talking about something that is continuous. And the only way you can capture that is with a video. Now, why do I say that's important? Think about David. David is described as a man after God's own heart. That's kind of a video. That's looking at David's entire life. If I was to stop the video of David's entire life and I was to focus on that one moment when he had Uriah put on the front lines so that Uriah would be killed, I would have a very different picture of David. Because he did sin. In our culture, we would say that David committed murder. Okay? It was aggravating. He knew what he was doing. That's true. That kind of hits at what we've said about willingly. But it was something that happened. It was undeniable. But when you look at David, don't stop there. Take in the whole video. Because what happened after that?
Repentance.
Forgiveness.
Repentance and forgiveness.
Yeah, and repentance. Nathan came to him, talked to him, and David says, restore in me a clean heart, O God. So you know, that can be applied to people like Abraham, who is a man that followed God. But if you stopped his video at the moment that he lied about his wife being his sister, you'd have a very different picture. So, when you consider a man's life, don't stop the video. Take in the whole thing. Yeah, Bill.
Oh, I've been reading Jeremiah, and God has told him to go and talk to God's people and tell them to turn from the error of their ways, to stop worshiping idols, to stop turning your back on God. And they willfully say, no, we're going to keep going the way we're going. And so this is a big deal when it gets to Christianity. They don't want that to happen.
Just don't. Anytime you consider a person's life, don't stop the video. Take in the whole thing. And thankfully, I would like my life to be considered as a video. And I think most of us would. Because I could pick out times in my life when I did some pretty terrible things. But if I consider the whole thing, I get a different picture. So, when we talk about people sinning willfully, is that a snapshot of them, or is it a video?
Well, the way this reads, and my version reads, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth. So that implies that this is a video of sinning, right? This is a chosen way to live
that is denying the truth that someone already knows.
Okay.
Okay. So, and I think that we have time and time again talking about grace and mercy and forgiveness. We're going to sin. I mean, I think of Peter all the time. And, you know, Peter comes to mind because, oh, I can relate with that guy. He was just so impetuous and he just jumped in there and wanted to get something done. And his love for Jesus really kind of compelled him to make some really boneheaded decisions. And he was forgiven. And that happens to all of us all the time.
Yeah.
We sin all the time. If that was the case, if it wasn't the video and it was more the snapshot, how could he say there's no more forgiveness for your sin? So I think he's saying that this is a deliberate choice that you're going to live a manner of life that is opposed to what you already know to be truth. And you've made that decision. And so God isn't willing to forgive you.
Okay. So what can we figure out from the context? I think all of those are really good comments. Let's think a little bit about the context. And the first thing that you have to think about when you think about context is the whole Bible. Okay? What does the whole Bible tell us about, not one verse, what does the whole Bible tell us about sin? And one of the things that we know is that the Old Testament was given so that sin would appear to be sin. And a lot of the examples that we read about in the Old Testament serve that purpose really well. They help us to see sin. But one of the things that just really impresses me as I read the Old Testament is that you can't just say sin is sin. There's different kinds of sin. And some are snapshot sins and some aren't. So let's think about first sins of inadvertence or sins of ignorance. Now the Bible talks about those in a number of places. Leviticus is one that it's Leviticus, the purpose of Leviticus is to specify the sacrifice that was appropriate to a kind of behavior. Now, don't forget that they made sacrifices that weren't related to sin. They made sacrifices that were just sacrifices of praise and sort of celebration of the fact that God and I have a relationship, and I am so glad, and I just make this sacrifice to show my relationship. Okay? We're not going to talk about that kind of sacrifices very much, but it's important for us to remember that those kinds of sacrifices are just as real as the sacrifices that were prescribed for various sins. So, let's think about inadvertent kinds of sins or sins in ignorance. And I have a lot of different passages that are listed here. Let's just go through these and read these and kind of try to develop an overall picture of this oversight or inadvertence, something we didn't intend to do, but it was something that happened. Or a sin of ignorance. And then a little bit later, we'll talk about whether we can find examples of that. Okay? So let's read these passages. Can I get somebody just pitch in and read one and then somebody else read the next one in the list? Can everybody see the list up here? Okay. Who wants to read Leviticus 4, verse 2?
Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if a person sins unintentionally in any of things which the Lord has commanded, not to be done, and commits any of them.
Then there was a sacrifice that was demanded in that case. But this is a person who does it unintentionally. How about Leviticus 4, verse 13?
If the whole Israelite community sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the Lord's commands, even though the community is unaware of the matter, when they realize their guilt,
then there was a sacrifice that they had to make. What do you see as important in that particular passage as a characteristic of the way that they sinned?
The whole community.
Whole community? You're right.
They were unaware of it and they became aware of it.
Okay.
And in both of these cases, the offering that's offered is called the sin offering. So it's still sin.
Right.
And there is still guilt associated with it.
But it was unintentional.
Still intentional.
Okay. How about chapter 4, verse 22?
When a leader sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the commands of the Lord his God, he is guilty.
Okay, so it's unintentional. He is guilty, and he makes a sacrifice. Chapter 4 at verse 27.
If anyone of the common people sin
unintentionally in doing any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done, and becomes guilty.
Here, there's that unintentionally again. How about chapter 5 at verse 15?
When a person commits a violation and sins unintentionally in regard to any of the Lord's holy things, he is to bring to the Lord as a penalty a ram from one flock, one without defect and of the proper value in silver, according to the sanctuary shekel. It is a guilt offering.
Okay. Now, let me stop there before we go on to Numbers 15. Do you think that these people did what they did without knowing that they were going to do it? That the activity, did they intend to do it? Well, yeah, we don't do things without intending to do things. But they did these things unintentional. What was unintentional about it?
The fact that it was sin.
I'm sorry?
The fact that it was sin. They didn't know it was sinful.
Okay, that's true. But the intention relates to whether they were trying to walk away from God or not. But it's true that they did what they did. It's not like their hand just decided to go over there by itself and do something. They intended to do it. But it wasn't intentional. Okay? Let's look at Numbers 15. Verse 24. And go ahead, in Numbers 15, go ahead and read 24 and then read 27 through 29.
And if this is done unintentionally without the community being aware of it, then the whole community is to offer a young bull for a burnt offering as an aroma pleasing to the Lord, along with its prescribed grain offering and drink offering and a male goat for a sin offering. And then 27 through 29.
There we go.
But if just one person sins unintentionally, he must bring a year-old female goat for a sin offering. The priest is to make atonement before the Lord for the one who erred by sinning unintentionally. And when atonement has been made for him, he will be forgiven. One and the same law applies to everyone who sins unintentionally, whether he is a native-born Israelite or an alien.
Okay. So the difference here is the group did something unintentionally, and the individual did something unintentionally, then that's entirely possible. Most of us have been in situations where the group moved in a particular way, and we just didn't think about it. The group may not have thought about it, and we got caught up in what the group was doing. I used to live in New York, and you know, in rush hour in New York, you can be so caught up in the movement of pedestrians that you can pick your feet up off the ground, and they'll just carry you along. You didn't do that intentionally, and the group really doesn't do it intentionally. It is sin. It's described that way, but it's unintentional sin. How about Acts 3, verse 17?
And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also. So they were taught wrong.
Could be. Could be.
Or not taught at all.
Or they just didn't think about it. Could be that they're taught wrong. Could be that they just, it didn't occur to them.
But it says, as your leaders. That's the Pharisees had a habit of saying the right things sometimes and not doing the right things, but they also let their people down for leadership. So,
well, that's true. That's true. Acts 17.
Are you saying that when you sin unintentionally, you didn't know it was sin?
Well, what do you think?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking, that you didn't know if it was sin, so it was unintentional.
Okay, could be that you didn't know it was sin. It could be that you just got caught up in the situation and you did something that you didn't intend to do. Yeah, Carol?
Margaret's comment just took me back to Adam and Eve. And the fact that Eve was deceived into doing something, she knew it was wrong, but she was deceived. The first sin is equated to Adam because he willfully
knew
that he wasn't supposed to be doing that when she came to him. That's what I get from that. That's why he has this first sin is upon him and not upon Eve.
That's interesting. I never really heard that analysis, but that he is the one who sinned. Eve was deceived.
She sinned, but the first sin was equated to Adam. Hmm. I don't know who ever taught that. It certainly wasn't me who came up with that idea.
Wasn't me, because I never heard that one before. Okay. Can you think of somebody who did this? Yeah.
Well, somebody who fell ignorantly on a, they would have known that they didn't intend to sin. They fell on a grave, or let's say they walked across something. No, when Samson ate the honey that it was out of the carcass, and then he gave it to others. They ate the honey. They ate the honey even because they did not know that it had been contaminated and come from a carcass. So they were ignorant of that part of the sin.
Okay, that's an interesting one. I didn't think about that one. I thought about Uzzah.
Oh yeah.
He reached out, grabbed the ark, so it would fall on the ground. It was.
If you sin intentionally, it's something that you plan to do?
Well, he had a reason for reaching out. His arm didn't just shoot out without Uzzah knowing it. He intended to keep the ark from falling on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But he died. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, we'll talk a little bit about the penalty for unintentional sin in a little bit, but But I think often we sin unintentionally, or we sin out of oversight. We shouldn't think about it.
So it's our motivation behind the sin.
Yeah, that's the point. That's the question that we have to ask ourselves. Intentionality plays a big role in what sin is. Yeah, Carol.
There was a study that these people were trying to apply for a job, and they were going through this, and the whole person was supposed to be somebody who was involved in people, helpful to people, you know, that sort of situation. And they said, good, you're going to have this interview, and you have 15 minutes to get over to this other place to do it. And it took them 12 minutes to get there. And over 50% of the people walked past somebody who was in the kind of distress that this job said you need to take care of, because their focus was on something else. It was on getting a job. And so they walked past this situation that the job required that you would do something, rather than showing up late and saying, I'm sorry, I had to help this person.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the study, but rings true for everything that I know. Think about the Good Samaritan. The three people that walked by on the other side of the road,
yeah.
Did they intend to leave that poor man in the gutter?
Yep.
Yes and no.
Yeah, yes and no. The Pharisee or the priest, he's in a hurry to get to Jerusalem so he can start his priestly duties.
He can't be defiled.
I'm sorry?
And he can't be defiled.
Oh, and he can't be defiled. That's true. So if he had stopped to help that poor man that was laying in the gutter, he'd have been defiled. He couldn't do what he was sent to do. So there are all kinds of things that happen that are like this. Now let's think about deliberate sins. Sins of, well, they're described in some places as sins of presumption. Yeah, Bill, I didn't mean to.
Well, it's a crossover between the first and second part here. Those people, it didn't help that man. They chose not to help, but helping him would have been doing the greater part of God's work than what they were on their way to. He said, I would rather mercy and justice than sacrifice.
Okay. That's an interesting observation.
And, you know, and it said they walked by on the other side, like they went on the other side intentionally.
Okay. Yeah, Jim?
I was thinking that in my life, I think probably those unintentional sins are probably more a sin of omission than commission. I think I probably either don't notice something that I should be doing, or I omit to do something, and then later I look back on it and I think, wow, maybe God sent that person in my path so that I could interact with them, and then I just didn't. And I'm constantly praying for forgiveness for those sins of omission, because I think that there's all kinds of stuff that happens in my life probably every day that I don't pay attention to. And I do think that the difference, like we've been talking about, is that deliberate walking away from God and saying, I know it's sin, but I'm going to engage in this anyway. And to continually do that, you know, I don't know about the people who walked on the other side of the road and left the man that was so severely injured. You know, I don't know what their motives were,
entirely. I do think that Bill has a point. They walked to the other side of the road, and I suspect that they had something that they had to do. You know, I think about passing broken down car, somebody who's broken down, and I'm trying to get to church, right? But I want to be on time. I don't want to be late. So I don't stop and help. You know, what's up with that? You know, what does God call me to do but to serve others? You know, and so I'm weighing that out. It's kind of like the priest. You know, you got to get to the big, you know, you got to get to your duties and those kinds of things. So I suspect that in my life, I think that I would characterize those sins of ignorance or oversight or inadvertence to more of a sin of omission, something I should be doing, and I'm not doing it.
Yeah, Carol.
And one of the things with the people who passed by the gentleman who was injured, there were thieves there, and people are scared and fearful for their life. And sometimes the fear of, oh, I don't have the time. Sometimes just even the fear that I'm going to have to give up some of my time for this person. It's not even a fear for your life. But fear is something that creates an opportunity for you to sin.
Okay. All good comments. So let's leave unintentional sin. And let's talk about sins that are deliberately and intentionally committed. And remember, we're not talking about snapshot, we're talking about video. Yeah, Bill.
I've been thinking about Saul. He, I believe, in one place said that he had lived his prior life in ignorance of the truth. Yet after Jesus came to him, I think he served God feeling that he had done it presumptuously.
That's interesting. And
he knew.
Yes,
he knew the Christian doctrine. It was there. He wouldn't believe it until Jesus spoke to him.
It's interesting. It's hard to, unless somebody tells you why they did something, it's hard to sometimes know why they did things. And the Apostle Paul kind of recognizes that in 1 Corinthians 2, when he said, "What man knows the things of a man save the spirit of a man that's in him?" It's always dangerous for me to look at somebody else and to say, "Well, you did this deliberately," when they may not have. It's easy for us to look at a man like Saul and say, "You did this deliberately." And maybe he didn't. I don't know. It's just something to think about. Intention is inner.
But he said he did it in all good conscience. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he does.
Although he did it deliberately, he didn't understand what he was ignoring. And okay, it wasn't until God put the seed out at the right time and he had God in his heart, because he had God in his heart, he said, "Uh-oh.
Well,
I gotta turn around."
The conclusion there can be, we need a snapshot. We don't need to look to judge Paul on a snapshot. Judge him on a video.
Yeah.
Okay. Good point. Let's go on to deliberate sin. I'm going to ask you to think about these kind of categories of sin and think about people biblically who fell into these different categories. And we're going to have to put that off until next week. I thought that we would be able to do that this week, but we really can't. So So hang on to that thought, and let's talk about the people who fall into these categories. Could be Old Testament, could be New Testament. Sins of presumption. Sins are that are deliberately or intentionally committed. Now remember, even a sin of ignorance or a sin that's inadvertent, we intended to do it. It's just inadvertent that we did it. Sins of presumption. Exodus 21 at verse 14. Can I get somebody to read that one?
But if anyone schemes and kills someone deliberately, that person is to be taken from my altar and put to death.
Okay. How about Numbers 15 at verse 30?
But the person who does anything defiantly, whether he is native or an alien, that one is blaspheming the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from among his people.
This is defiant sin. How about Numbers or Deuteronomy 17 at verse 12?
The man who shows contempt for the judge and for the priest who stands ministering there to the Lord your God must be put to death.
Okay. That's a really interesting passage because it talks about showing contempt for God. That's why you did it. It's not what you did as much as it's why you did it. Or Psalms 19 and verse 13.
The Lord thundered from heaven and the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and poles of... Oh, I'm the totally wrong one. Sorry. Leave it to me.
No,
I did 18 and I needed to do 9.
Okay.
I apologize. 19:13. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression.
Yeah, this is presumptuous. And the best illustration of somebody that does something presumptuously was something, it occurred to me when I was talking to Amelia at lunch today. You know, some students don't do their homework and they think, eventually I'll come and I'll do my homework and you'll have to accept it. Right? Do you ever think that I did? I remember taking a class. I needed to pass this class. I didn't need a letter grade. Wasn't in my major. It was art history. But I had to pass this class. That meant a C or better. Okay? Came down to the final, I needed 2 points to get a C. Took the final, answered 3 questions, just to be sure, and then put down my paper and walked out of the room. That was presumptuous. If I just get 2 points, you have to give me this grade. And I did get the grade. The professor was very angry with me. And I got a stern talking to from the dean of my program that I was involved in. So let's talk a little bit about secret sins. This is different. Secret sins.
It strikes me as we're talking about all these different kinds of sins, how we really have to have a perfect judge, and there is only one, because he's the one who knows our hearts and knows what kind of sin we're committing.
Thank you. That's the best comment that you could have made, and that's the place we're going to end this. We have a perfect judge. Thank God. that we have a perfect judge. And we'll talk about secret sins next week. And then we'll take some time and we'll talk about people that fall into these categories. Margaret, that was brilliant. And I would give anything if I had thought of that so I could put it into this outline. But it's a perfect place to end. You know, I am so happy that I get to deal with a perfect judge who's not going to look at what I did and how heinous it was, and who's not going to look at what I did and how much it affected other people. He's going to look at my heart, and he's going to make a judgment based on my heart. And he's going to use a video. What a great judge we have. If you're here tonight and you know that you have sinned and you want to respond to God, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. If you've not put Jesus on in baptism, do it. We can help you do that. If you don't know what that is, we can spend some time with you and help to explain what it means to put Jesus on in baptism. But we want you to think about it.